I'm telling these tears, go and fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move.
What is happening, Wisconsin? How are you? What's up, guys? I am not Maggie Dawn. I am Brian Kelly. I am Fancy Brian, as some people like to call me. On the board with me today is the fabulous Jess. How are you today, Jess?
Doing good, doing good.
Very happy to have you. It's nice to go and switch some roles sometimes. Maggie's taking some well-deserved time off. If you're listening, Maggie, turn it off and go back
go
to
rest.
Go rest by going back to work because you have 15 right. jobs now. Right. Congratulations to you on working. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. As I said, I am Brian Kelly, filling in for Maggie Dawn. Give us a call, 855-752-4842. It is a Friday.
It is a Friday.
And it seems like we've been talking about the last couple of weeks being a decade or so of news.
A piece.
And it we've all aged several years. But then Monday hit, and Monday to now has been like 30 seconds.
Right. Yeah. I blinked.
Yeah, we're going to end the show. You went to Madison.
I did.
That was awesome.
I spent 2 days in Madison.
How was that?
It was super cool. Yeah. I was there to cover the Wisconsin Public Education Network Summer Summit.
Wow.
Yeah, it was super cool. Lots of educated educators talking education.
That's pretty cool.
It was super cool.
Did you guys learn things, or did you teach things to each other?
There was a lot of teaching. There was a lot of learning. There was a lot of just being and advocating and, you know, getting ready to do stuff.
I like that.
Yeah.
I had a couple fill-in guests. We had Jim Santel earlier on this week, and then we had Matt Rothschild the last couple of days with some awesome
special guests.
Angela Lang was awesome. We had some really good discussions about, the NABJ and the ridiculous stuff that had just the weirdness of this entire election cycle. I don't even know what to do with myself. I'm honestly like, do I want popcorn or will I throw it up? I don't know.
I don't, that is the exact question I've been asking. I usually say, you know what? I'm going to get the popcorn because I'm not going to waste this moment of entertainment.
Yeah, and plus popcorn is relatively cheap on the regular.
True. Yeah.
And from what I can tell, the Woodman's deals is a hot deals on popcorn.
Oh, is that the deal of the week?
I don't know. It was a week ago. I really liked the way you said popcorn.
Popcorn.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that too. I don't know. I have an actual show for you guys, and I've had this one in the can for a while. I've been wanting to do this. I want to talk about culture.
Yeah.
Like culture en masse. I'm going to touch in a bunch of different bits on culture. We're going to go into religion, music, pop culture, politics,
all the things that you're not supposed to talk about on a first date.
Basically, but that's what we all end up doing. I mean, look,
every good first date, yes.
Yeah. I mean, if you get into it, you get into it, and it doesn't matter that you agree or not. It's can you talk about it?
Yeah.
Can you communicate? Because when we're out together, when you go, I mean, some people go out to clubs and stuff, but at the end of it, if you end up going to the end of the night to the point where it's like just you and a bunch of bottles and you're kind of cleaning up and talking, you're telling stories to each other. You're telling different, you're relating to each other with culture. You're talking about music. You're talking about things you are passionate about, things you care about, things that define you as a human being. And that's how we get together, you know, and hopefully you'll be doing a lot of that this weekend. The state fair kicked off.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh my goodness.
And you're a state fair guy?
I have become one. I'm generally against it, and only because it's August and it's hot.
Yeah, that's very fair.
And I am a Yeti.
Yeah.
I love State Fair. It is so much fun.
Yeah.
There's just so much. There's mullets from everywhere. There's animals of all kinds, and there's great food, great
everywhere.
People, and great culture.
Yes.
It's also an opportunity to, I don't know, meet people from all around the state
in
one spot.
Yeah.
You know, if you
get all of Wisconsin, and I mean, sometimes people think like, oh, it's Wisconsin. They're all just a bunch of cheeseheads. It's like, we may be cheeseheads, but there's a lot of kinds of cheese.
There's a lot of variants in there.
Yeah.
You know, that's the important thing.
Yeah.
So what I want to talk about, what I want to start off with our culture is the thing that, and shout out to Scott Kuchka, is my favorite topic is narrative.
Mm.
I love narrative. And I want to get into that, but this is sparked from a call we got yesterday. We got a we took a call from a conservative guy. I presume conservative just because of the way he was arguing. Greg, who is at was at 27th and Ross. He says he's on the road. And, you know, he called up to go and bring up the point of, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago, in a reference to Biden hasn't done much for him and he didn't feel totally valid point from his point of view, and that type of thing was very awesome about it. But on the phone call beforehand, when I answered the phone, I had talked to him about, hey, oh, you're at 27th and Ross, and there's an Oscars there. You should go in and get a BLT. They're fantastic. They also have Sloppy Joe's there. I really love. Food is a really big thing. We're going to get into food a little bit later, too, because it's part of our culture.
Right.
And
we need it to do things like live.
Turns out.
Yeah.
Turns out. But there's a lot of different ways to consume things.
Sure.
But yeah, this guy, but I had no idea, or nor did I care, and I still don't, what his political views are. I cared that he and I got together on food, and I know that area, and that's cool. We related in terms of our culture between food. And I think that's more important than literally anything else that we're talking about, because you have that connection, you can actually have that harder discussion where you don't agree, because at the end of the day, you can go back and have BLTs and Sloppy Joe's together.
Yeah.
So my thing with narrative. Narrative is the thing that let's just define our terms here. Narrative for me is what you tell yourself, the story that you tell yourself all the time. And we sell narratives to each other. Look at every commercial, every TV show, everything from Greek plays to, you know, a stupid 10-second jingle is telling you a story, because that's the way we learn. You are an educator teaching education.
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, you're completely right. Yeah. I also have a degree in classics because, you know.
There we go.
I love stories. I love the fact that this thing that is so, I mean, as far as we know, it's uniquely human, that we are constantly telling stories.
And sometimes the same exact story.
Oh, very frequently.
Over and over and over again. Take the Jesus story.
Sure.
The Savior that sacrifices themselves for the good of humanity.
Yep, shows up in pretty much every culture.
Every single culture. And that's something that resonates. It's a resonating story. It doesn't matter if it's the sky cake or the sky pie or whatever the heck you end up attributing to that. The story that resonates is the sacrifice for others.
Yes.
It's the rebirth, rejuvenation through sacrifice through others.
Mm-hmm.
And so that leads me to what my core beliefs are, my core narratives. You know, what drives me? What makes me go and wake up in the morning and go, wow, what story do I have to tell myself to get my lazy ass out of bed? Because this is really awesome, this whole sleeping thing. And by the way, my dreams are amazing. I can't remember most of them, but they are amazing.
I remember almost all of my dreams.
Oh.
And they're crazy.
Yeah. You got an active mind. There's a lot of stuff you can put together.
There's a lot of stuff going around in there.
Pardon me, I just completely lost my train of thought because I was thinking about narratives.
Oh,
so
the
narratives that I tell myself, the thing that that is my thing, is we are better when we have purpose. We are better when we work together. There's nothing that has ever been that ever happened in the history of all humankind without collaboration of some sort.
Correct.
In a large part, sometimes through one person enslaving a whole bunch of people and pushing them towards it. But again, still collaboration.
Technically forced.
Absolutely horrible and bad and not even remotely.
And imagine how much better it would have been if we would have all had consent.
If you felt ownership of it.
Right.
You know, that's another thing. And that leads me to the most dangerous narrative of all. The American dream.
Ooh.
That is a danger. Ooh. Do you know how dangerous that narrative is? The idea that you can be nobody and be good at something and then become big and powerful and important and actually have anything mean anything, that is a dangerous thought. Because for years, and you know this through classics, the prince to the pauper, the pauper and the prince, that pauper was always just a secret prince. Because birthright was the thing.
Absolutely.
Luke Skywalker got his powers from his father. Not, you know, through effort and, you know, mm-hmm. worth and doing something on your own. So the idea that somebody can come out of nothing mm-hmm. and make something of themselves, the American dream, that's dangerous.
It is. It puts forth this idea that you don't need your community. You don't need the people around you. You don't need the people who came before you, who can help you, who can boost you. You can do it all yourself.
Yeah, you can pull yourself up because it's dangerous in that you can make yourself into something else because you can become something from nothing. But it's also that like you said, you completely forget about the people around you because we are all right now. I look around me right here and I see technology. I see stuff that makes it easier for just you and I to do one show. You couldn't really do that back in the day. You couldn't press the buttons and make things happen. How much easier are things now, but it's also more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
But we're standing on the shoulders of everything that came before us and everything that happened. And we have our technology at our hand. If we want to know anything, if I get a fact wrong or if I decide what's about, I can look it up right now, have the information in just a second or two.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to many other people.
Thanks to many, many, many other people. There's literally not. You wouldn't be here if two other people didn't get together and say, we should get together and be friends.
Indeed. And completely.
Guys, I don't know if you know this. When a mommy radio person or daddy radio person get together. Well, we'll tell that story a little bit later.
When they're ready.
Yeah. Give us a call and let us know what you think about the birds and the bees. 855 752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I'm Brian Kelly. I'm filling in for Maggie Dawn. We're talking culture today, and we're going to move on to politics and culture in just a minute. Give us a call, 855-752-4842. Text lines are open. It's me and Jess. We're hanging out, and it's freedom time.
Yeah, it's freedom time on a Friday.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Put down the chainsaw and listen to me.
Put down the chainsaw and listen to me. It's time for us to join in the fight.
Dare to be stupid, my friends. Folks, you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Brian Kelly. I'm filling in for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show today. Give us a call, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Your texts can go to that number as well. We'll take your calls anytime. We're talking culture today. It's a Friday. We are having fun, and we are going to talk about some culture here today. And I want to go in the culture of politics in just a moment, but I want to say something about Weird Al. Weird Al is the reason that I like every genre of music.
Yeah?
Weird Al covered every genre of music, and I was a little comedy nerdy kid, you know, growing up, listening to stand-up on, or watching stand-up on the Comedy Channel before it became Comedy Central. I remember Kerry Kilborn as the host of The Daily Show before Liz Winstead said bye. I got to meet Liz Winstead through the course of this. And anyway, so as a comedy nerd growing up, I listened to Weird Al because it was funny to me. And because of Weird Al, I actually like all genres of music.
All genres of music. Do you have a ranking of them, or is it just sort of it's all good? There's good stuff everywhere.
There's good stuff everywhere. You can get really into anything as long as you open yourself to seeing why people enjoy it.
Sure, when you can find the beauty in it, when you can find the skill and the nuance in it.
Yeah, well, no matter what it is, there's something that about something that everybody likes. I may not listen. I think Big Bang Theory is the dumbest damn show on earth, but there's a lot of people who really like it, and I can see why in certain ways, and maybe I don't necessarily agree, but...
Yeah, I went through a phase with it.
Yeah, you know what? Great.
Yep, but once I got through that phase, it was like, eh, Now it's tiring.
Yeah.
And, you know, my mother-in-law loves it. So
it's something you guys can talk about.
It's something we can talk about. It's something that I will watch it with her. Absolutely.
And you can dovetail from that into other things.
Indeed.
Yeah. And basically, if you have an in any way, you can dovetail into politics, which is fun.
Oh, for sure.
Which is the greatest storytelling thing of all time. Let's take a news story that just happened.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the narrative surrounding it.
Okay, let's.
So Joe Biden just negotiated with Kamala Harris a huge prisoner release swap, right?
Yes.
Really awesome. Enormous stuff. I love that the reporter asked Putin for an interview in his exit. Like that you can write a little thing he wrote. Putin, will you please interview me? or let me interview you. That's pretty awesome. Journalist at heart. That's pretty cool. But the narrative there is always going to be that Sleepy Joe Biden. They're always going to say Sleepy Joe Biden, no matter how competent he shows you. Hillary Clinton was going to be, no matter what. Anybody, she was the most qualified candidate up there by miles. But still people are like, yeah, I don't like her. Meh. And a lot of that is narrative. Yes, it's sexism. Yes, it's misogyny. Yes, it's all of those things. But those things are rooted in stories.
But she's a witch.
Exactly.
Exactly, right?
But even these callbacks, things that are culturally relevant, it means that we understand Monty Python now. Yeah. We get that all in one sentence. You know, but the narrative is Sleepy Joe Biden. He needs to withdraw from the race. He's just a poor old doddering guy.
He needs his nap-naps.
But it turns out he swung this whole deal together, and pretty much anybody who was part of it is saying, yeah, wouldn't have happened without him.
Right, absolutely. This is as people are going like, oh, Biden's in his lame duck period, and Biden's going, no.
Wait, you mean I get to work instead of actually campaigning instead and telling you that I'm working?
Right, he can do one job really, really well.
Yeah, great. I bet you he has time for a nap, too.
Yeah.
I'd make it happen. So, but this goes to the larger point of narrative is more important than reality. Because the Republicans have always been better at telling stories. They're also, their base is more receptive to the stories that are being told. Let's not say that, too. But it's, you know, like I said, that conservative caller, Greg, that called yesterday, he had the, are you better off 4 years ago than you are now. Whether he is or isn't, you can tell him, well, actually.
His story is that he is not.
Yes. The crime is down across the entire country.
Wages are up.
Crime is down. But tell that to my friend who's conservative, who heard gunshots around her apartment, you know, in Chicago just a couple weeks ago. To her, crime is in her front door and she's getting shot every day. But
that sounds very difficult.
Of course, but my point is that when messaging and when telling stories to people, trying to teach your electorate how to vote and how to advocate for you, the Republicans are so much better at it.
Oh, sure.
So much better. They'll tell you the easy story and they'll tell you the thing that you.
They tell you who's at fault. They tell you this is the person you need to blame. This is what you need to do. Just listen to me.
Yeah, and they message it so well that it's easy to repeat and continue. That thing. And Democrats are always in the book, it really happened this way. I'm trying to watch Game of Thrones, please. Can you just stop? Yes, I know in the book it was different. There's a movie and there's a book. They're going to be different. It's impossible. It's just, they've tried to do it. It's impossible. It's impossible. Unless you do like a chapter you could do it with like a long series, but then the director is not going to be like, oh, I'm going to take my own story and, you know, put it on there. I'm going to change it and everything like that. Democrats need to stop going, but actually. That's why I love the idea of them being weird. Because it's just so simple.
Yeah.
Just
lean into it. Just weird.
God, that's weird, man.
Weird.
Wow, that's weird.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's... It's simple. It's easy. It's the first time I've ever been like, oh, that's something that we can do something with. We can play with weird.
Yeah. Weird, we can do something with. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I've been embracing weird for a really long time.
Well, I mean, you kind of needed to, what with, you know.
Well, But that's also how. So I'm a traveler. I'm an outsider. I've always been an outsider. I've moved around. I've never been to one school for more than 4 years. I've lived on all three coasts, the East Coast, the West Coast, and the Great Lakes Coast. I've experienced a lot of different cultures. I've been around a lot of different people, and I've had the fortune to be able to experience a lot of that. But a lot of that has also forced me to be an outsider. And as an outsider, you can either choose to be angry about it. I was for a while, so I understand that point of view. But I also learned how to, I don't want to say assimilate because that's not the right word. I learned how to ingratiate myself with people, how to get along, how to talk to, how to be gregarious, how to make it, how to disarm people. I'm a large dude. I'm 335 pounds. I'm 6'5". I could probably, my one fighting move is grab and fall, mostly because gravity. But the whole point is, because of culture, I can get around and go and do anything. And if we relate in a culture way, it can really work out. So come back with me. Give me a call, 855-752-4842. We've talked a little bit about politics and culture, and we're going to move on to, let's go to music.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's get into music next and how music affects everybody and makes everything happen.
You are all weirdos.
Don't you find some of their stuff to just be plain weird?
No!
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 Yes!
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 Yes.
Yes. Yeah, a bit. Yeah. A bit!
You're all individuals!
It must be how you look. When you woke up, boy, got choked up.
I'm not a good, not a good pairing for Kelly here.
You're doing great.
Thanks, appreciate that. Yep. This is, I'm Brian Kelly. The Maggie Dawn Show. Hi, everybody. welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Brian Kelly, filling in for Maggie Dawn, who's having a well-deserved vacation where she's working and somewhat on vacation, too. Congratulations, Maggie, on that. give us a call, 855-752-4842. Give me a moment. From what I understand, you can't breathe water.
No, you're actually supposed to breathe air and drink water. I know it's a little tricky, but, you know, eventually you'll get it.
I blame global warming.
You should.
That was weird.
That was
completely
weird.
Fine. I cleared that my throat weird. Right beforehand, and now I'm... All right, welcome back, everybody. I'm alive, you're alive, we're all alive here. I'm Brian Kelly, filling in for Maggie Dawn on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've been talking about culture, narrative and culture. Culture, the United States culture, the weird experiment that is all of the United States in and of itself. I mean, we're brand new. We're not even 300 years old.
Right. Like, speaking on terms of like a global scale, we are an infant nation.
And you know, pretty much everybody else sent their own stuff and then forgot that people were here. And then, you know, culture wars ensued. And we've been ensuing a culture war since then.
Yeah, we were just sort of left here. And, you know, like what happens when you leave some dairy out, it all ferments a little bit and you end up with something that's a little weird. But
if you leave a bunch of, you know, little boys together that have a lot of power, they end up throwing a rock on the other one and then they have the conch. It's really important that that we don't leave ourselves alone. But we're trying to govern ourselves. One of the first times ever. I mean, there have been cultures out there that have lasted for centuries, thousands of years. The Chinese, you have to understand the history of places before you can even start talking about them. I mean, we talk about Russia all the time and all our narratives are, oh, Russia, bad, 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 Russia, evil and everything. And there's a reason why their philosophers have a little bit of yes, we are dead.
Yes.
You know, little nihilistic type of thing because they weren't a real country. They were just a massive land that you had to go, okay, so how do I get there? All right, go that way.
Keep going that way.
Keep going that way.
Keep going that way.
When you see the hill,
keep going.
Keep going to the other hills.
It's really cold. Keep going.
Don't, So don't stop, because if you, it's not the snows that'll get you, it's the mud after the snows that'll kill. But you're still going to go. When you get there, you might want to stay there for years at a time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Also that, and their aristocracy, they hated their own people. But, you know, I digress. But if you know that, you know a little bit of where the Russians are coming from. You know what I mean? Like, you have to understand culture.
Context.
You have to understand culture to understand context. A fun little tidbit that I just wanted to share, that, AI and like people who are trying to deep fake and or be, let's say, bad actors in the social media community, they're having a hard time with hacking United States stuff because we have so many colloquialisms. We have so many different ways of saying things that it's hard for them to mimic and or create it. In that last segment we had like four or five different cultural references that you, if you didn't catch, will fly by you. I mean, there are people who say things like "by Felicia," not even knowing that it's from the movie Friday, but they know the context of it. You're dismissing someone saying "by Felicia." So yeah, let's keep talking about this. I'm going to move into music in just a little bit here, but let's go to the lines. I want to read a text here. We talked about Weird Al, someone from the WISS area, the 920 says, "You sir have a lot of nerve to squeeze all that Charmin while Mr. Whipple is not around. How dare you?" And I say to that, it's Friday. I will squeeze all the Charmin I can.
Absolutely.
Especially since Mr. Whipple, I haven't seen that guy in a long time. Also, Andrew in Maine writes, if you want to go and be part of our text line, you can also write up on the live stream. Andrew in Maine says, when a patch cable and a switchboard get together, a producer is born.
That is where I came from. Yeah.
That's how we made Jess.
Yeah.
I think we wore bras on our head, something like that.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, that's a weird science reference for all those who didn't know. I'm not just trying to be weird here. I'm weird on my own, but I just want to own it.
You are all weirdos.
Yes, we are.
Yes.
I want to get a couple weirdo friends of mine. My buddy Mark from Prairie du Sac. What do you have to say, Mark? How are you doing today?
Funny you brought up, I just watched that movie the other night, Weird Science, that for some reason, like, I got it on DVD, so I watched that.
Gary? Yeah, who's Gary?
It's kind of, you know, serendipitous that I'd done that. But I was getting into music. I mean, and music actually delivers something to us. I mean, I remember some of the lines from, you know, from, like, what, 21st Century Schizoid Man by King Crimson. There's another line song in there, what, I Talk to the Wind. You talk to the wind does not hear you. I mean, that's a line from that.
It'll blow back, though, and tell you, it'll quiet you right down.
You go to the Moody Blues from the late night lament on for Nights in White Satin. You know, cold-hearted orb rules the night, robs the color from our sight. What, red is gray and yellow white, but yet we decide which is right and which is illusion. I think too many folks these days can't decide which illusion is, what illusion actually is.
Mark, I got to tell you, I like to use my illusion, both one and two. So
that one's going over my head.
Guns N' Roses. Let's go to my... See? It's all relative, but no, seriously, like, people with music, you know, oh, these kids today with their music and their this and their that, it's always the same thing. May I remind you that a lot of people said that when they wouldn't like to see Elvis shaking his sexy hips. Oh my goodness. Or, oh geez, these jazz musicians are going to ruin everything. Oh my goodness, I can't believe American blues. American blues pretty much is one of our biggest exports.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Certainly one of our best. Better than all the war and things.
I would say that. And you know what? It came right back to us in the form of the Beatles and things like that because of appropriation and ripping off people. But again, also taking something and building on it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
building on the shoulders of those who came before us.
I feel like we have a narrative moving along this whole show here. Let's go to my buddy Al in Milwaukee. How you doing, Al? Good to hear from you again.
What's up, Shorty?
You're about the same height as me, man. You're about an inch taller, I'd say.
But see, you could talk about your 6'5", three what?
335. Sometimes I'm 340, sometimes I'm 325. I did stop eating for a whole week and a half, and I got down to 310.
You got to keep eating, dude.
I have a 16-year-old grandson. He's 6'2", 320. He's starting tackle at Rufus King High School.
Now we're talking.
So.
Keep him out of double days if you can. No. Jeez.
It's good to hear from you. I ain't heard you on the air in quite a while.
Yeah, I hear you a lot. I like listening to you, man.
Yeah, right. I create trouble with Earl. But
that's the best part.
But you're talking about culture, and no one ever goes back to the African-American history and talk about culture when our people were brought here and they took away all of their culture, their religion, their names, and they tried to make us into clones of them. And one day I was on the air and a guy called and he said, "You sound like you're racist." I said, "I am." He said, "Well, why are you so prejudiced?" I said, "You all took away everything we had and tried to make us just like you. So when you look at me, you're looking in the mirror. You're seeing yourself, and you don't like what you see because you made us this way."
And unfortunately, that gives them license to go and burn people in effigy on top of that when you make somebody a symbol of something else.
And they didn't like what they saw when they made us be like them. But anyway, it's just a matter of when we look at the culture of the American, our culture is created every day because all of us live differently and we create culture within our families. And many times our families are not kept together to a point where that culture is passed on. So it's a ongoing process. Just wanted to bring that out.
100%, Al. And you have brought up the other side of this entire conversation, which culture is used as warfare, not just cultural wars, but just to erase people. That's why it's important to learn about cultures. There's so many different things I can go here, but
I love what Al just said about culture is created every day.
Yes.
That's
beautiful. Yes, we're doing it right
Absolutely.
Now.
Right now, we're building culture.
Right now, we have a culture of civic media. We have shows. I know Al from talking to Earl all the time. I know, you know, he calls. I know Al from talking to Earl off the air. It's really fun. I love listening to those two talk. And I learn more about their culture and what they grew up with because they're also older than I am. They experience a different Milwaukee than I have growing up. I didn't grow up in Milwaukee. So learning from them is fantastic. I love when those guys get together, I'll just say a word or two. But then for the most part, I just shut up and listen because those guys.
That's novel.
Well, you got to. When someone knows more than you, you listen to what they say.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we don't have time for this clip. We're going to get to it afterwards. But there's a let's start it. We can fade it out.
Yeah, sure.
Because music, again, and Al, thank you for your call. That's probably one of the most important points we have here is that two things, culture every day. And you can destroy an entire people by destroying their culture. And I'd like to say that, by the way, even though that was systematic and horrible, it still lived through.
Mm-hmm.
So, and by the way, who's the most popular person at the Olympics right now? Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg?
Yes.
I didn't know he was at the Olympics.
He is everybody's best friend at the Olympics.
Oh my goodness.
He's hanging out with everything. And if I told you in 1991 that this would happen, it's amazing. So let's play this clip and play out the segment
sure.
to it. Because this clip I found, this is a group called Axis of Awesome. And for music, I just want to tell you, it's not just that we go along with everything. Like literally all the songs that work for all of us are the same exact song. So let's hear Axis of Awesome. They're an Australian group. Let's play it out.
Well, all the greatest pop songs ever written just use four chords. I mean, it's the same four chords for every song. You want to write a pop hit, just use
four chords.
What chords? Yeah, just here, these four chords. Just one, two, three, Four chords, that's all you need to write pop
sorry,
songs.
Let me get this straight, Chicken Little. What you're saying is you can take those four chords, yeah, repeat them, and pump out practically every pop song ever. Is that what you're saying?
Just pay attention. Do you recognise this?
Yeah, that is Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
And the cast of Glee.
Yeah, there's a few more songs with the same chords. Check it out. My life is brilliant. My love is pure. I saw an angel. Of that I'm sure.
That's just two songs, like...
People kill and people die and children hurt and hear them cry.
Three songs.
Can you practice
deal,
what you preach? Won't you turn the other cheek? If I could, then I would. I'd go wherever you will go.
Can you feel the love tonight?
Yes, you will be loved. Yes, you will be loved.
Oh, take me home, country road.
I hate this song. Come back with us on the Maggie Dawn Show, 855-752-4842. I'm Brian Kelly, that's Jess. Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Brian Kelly filling in. I got Jess on the board over there. We're playing some Taylor Dane right now. Pride of Long Island. I grew up a little bit in Long Island.
Did you?
Yeah, my dad's from Long Island. My mom's from Jersey, so we lived out there for a little bit. I lived in North Shirley.
I have no idea where that is.
Neither do I.
Okay.
I moved away in fourth grade.
Oh.
It's fine. To New Hampshire. Like, got whiter.
Got whiter.
Yeah. But Taylor Dane, pretty darn awesome. We're going to prove our love to you. We're going to talk about culture today, talking about culture in several different facets, how it's a narrative. We think through narrative. We think through stories. We talk through stories. The way we remember things is through stories. We mnemonic devices. We think about things. Mm-hmm. I know about PEMDAS. Because my friends and I made fun of PEMDAS all
Please
the time.
Excuse my dear Aunt Sally.
Yes, exactly. It's but you connect it. You remember things connecting by the stories you tell yourself because that's how our brain works.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That
is quite literally how your brain works. Your brain takes little pieces of information and it stores it in different parts, and then it forms tracks to connect it.
Yeah.
And then you can access that information. And when you access one piece, it lights up the other pieces. And to make it all connect, your brain fills in the spots.
And sometimes you get them wrong.
Yep.
And then, yep. And you actually, more often than not, you do.
More often than not.
Because it's impossible. Look around you right now. Try and remember everything that's happening around you. Try and remember the sign that you see. Try and remember you can't. You just can't.
You can't. Your brain takes in an absurd amount of information, mm-hmm, and it holds all of it for fractions of seconds, and then it discards the overwhelming majority of it, saving only a teeny, teeny little bit of it that you can access again, but usually you're going to get it in a different order.
But this is also why things like, you know, stupid, wrong, horrible, bigoted narratives work.
Correct, unfortunately.
Because let's do a little quick experiment.
Yeah.
Why don't you think of someone who is in this country illegally? What's the picture that you have in your mind? Don't say it, just think about it. Someone who uses food stamps. What's that picture like? What's the picture of someone who's extremely intelligent giving a lecture somewhere? What's a picture of what a rock star looks like? What does a hip-hop star look like to you? What does athletic excellence mean to you? To me, athletic excellence means Simone Biles.
Oh, absolutely.
She now lives in Chicago. Her husband is a safety for the Bears now. We used to play for the Packers last year. But now living in Chicago, she is effectively the greatest athlete in all of Chicago.
And an incredible representative for mental health.
Yes. Let's not forget that the Olympic story of Simone Biles is not just that this woman who's maybe 5'2", 5'4",
Is she over 5 feet tall?
She can get to, it doesn't matter. She's really small. She can get up to 12 feet in the air. She can jump over a basketball backboard.
Yeah. That's just mind blowing.
And that's just alone is amazing. But when you add in the narrative, the story of her fighting against Larry Nassar and fighting against the pressure, the immense pressure. I mean, you have a couple seconds to go and prove all of your work for 4 to 8 years, half most of your life for these girls.
Yep.
Because a lot of them are girls when they start.
Yeah.
You know?
She was a teenager.
Please don't get me wrong. I don't want to conflate that I'm calling her a girl. She's a woman. She's a fantastic woman and one of my heroes. I love her. But the narrative for all of us is, well, she doesn't play football, so her husband's really more important, right? Or is it now? Years ago, would it be different? How many different stories had to be told for her story to be accepted as this is what the story is?
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's so powerful of a story that when someone tries to say something like, oh, she's a loser and she quit, like J.D. Vance
nonsense.
Did, it sounds stupid.
It is stupid.
But it's not because of the truth of it. We know the truth of the situation. We all agree that the truth of it is that she's a powerful woman, and to make that decision to step out is harder than it is to continue.
Absolutely. 100%.
And we've talked about that situation to death, but the point of that matter is the story that that we are told and the story that J.D. Vance told. The one is more important than the other, whether the truth is one or the other. That's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Reality is the story that everybody agrees on because history is written by the victors.
Correct.
You know? So this is important to keep in mind when we're talking about things. I love baseball a lot.
Me too.
Like, I love baseball because it's so human in that most of the time you're going to fail.
Yeah. Most of the time you get up to bat, you're going to strike out. You're going to lob something that someone just catches real easy.
But if you continue doing the thing, if you continue doing the right way and following the process and having, I don't know, faith in your process, faith in your immediate training, then you can maybe, I don't know, do something. That one hard out that you hit, that's a good thing because you hit the ball hard, and that's what you have to tell yourself and keep going. But it can teach you a lot of, you know, obviously sports can teach you a billion things about life and, you know, overcoming adversity and what you can do, and but again, narratives are important, and that's why people get mad about the Caitlin Clark thing. That's why people tell their stories about but no matter what it is, it means that WNBA is more important now. And if that's the story that gets told, great. But again, this is how we need to think about things in order to be able to make things work for our society. We're going to keep going with this. We're talking culture here, guys. On the Maggie Dawn Show, I'm Brian Kelly. With me is Jess. We are having a lot of fun on a Friday, and we got a lot of people texting. I'm going to read some of those. Give us a call, 855-752-4842. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Brian Kelly, and you better prove your love. Give me a call. Give me a text.